Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Mr. David Crawford on the line with me. He is a flutist, composer, producer, arranger, like you do everything music to me. So let's talk about this new project, the remix, because the project is out, Africa Nouveau, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you did a remix. Talk about what made you decide to do a remix.
Well, I did a remix because, I was considered the featured artist, but I didn't play much on it.
Right.
So I figured, well, I better do one with more flute on it, in terms of featured instrument. I had Nolan Shahid, who's a very fine trumpet player and musician, studio musician, who I've known for over the years.
Uh-huh.
And he's used to be Marvin Gaye's music director.
In
the day, that's what prompted me to do a remix, because the original has Michelle Obama with her from one of her comments about being able to everyone have the freedom to achieve what they need to achieve,
right?
The opportunity,
right?
So I threw that in there along with the music. So
I love it.
It was a different approach. I wasn't trying to so much feature. I was just trying to make some music and kind of insert that in there.
Right. Music tells stories, so you're just telling your story. How did you become interested in playing the flute?
Well, it wasn't my choice, actually.
Okay.
My father, from his job, somebody had given him a flute.
Uh-huh.
So he brought it home, but it was an old flute. It was actually a wooden flute. German wooden flute.
Oh, wow.
So when I went to my first teacher, he looked at the flute. He said, well, you need to get the one that everybody's used. So from there, it came easy for me, my father wanted me to, and he tried to encourage me to play piano, but my sister was playing piano, and I didn't want to get involved with that.
Right.
But I could kick myself for not doing that, because that piano is the instrument to go with if you want to really make a career in music. So,
okay.
Of course, when I went to college, I had to learn.
Right. So how many instruments do you play?
Played saxophone for one semester just to see how that went.
Okay. So you absolutely...
Because of the embouchure of the formation of your mouth. It's so different if you go back and forth. You have to really spend time on all of them, be able to adjust what they call your embouchure to perform. So I just stuck with the flute. That's what I got a scholarship on. So.
Oh, okay. A scholarship playing the flute.
Yeah.
Okay. So a scholarship playing the flute and then being a musician playing the flute. What is that journey like for someone who may be listening and thinking that, if they pick an instrument that's not so familiar, like the bass, the piano, that's the sax, encourage someone that, hey, listen, if you like the cello, you like the flute, what's it like creating a career doing that?
Well, particularly the flute, for the most part, it was more relegated to the orchestra.
Okay.
So I had been playing in orchestras from grade school up to, an adult. But it helped by ear in terms of being able to hear all the instruments and the combination. I realized that orchestration was my thing because it was really easy for me to make a career out of, because I didn't play multiple instruments.
Right.
I couldn't work as a studio musician on just the flute.
Right.
I could do a few commercials, but most of the studio musicians would be able to switch from sax, flute, to clarinet, to oboe. You had to be proficient in all those instruments, and I was only proficient with the flute. So, but my passion was really with orchestration.
Oh, okay.
Because I realized I had an automatic ear for it because I was always in an orchestra.
Right.
So it just really came natural to be able to assess and arrange and come up with ideas for this instrument and that, because I was always playing, with an orchestra. And that's how I made a career out of it.
Right.
When it was really when they were really using strings and horns.
Come on now, right?
Whatnot. Yeah. So things changed really around the 1990s, you know, the synthesizers came in. Well, still, even with a synthesizer, if you have an orchestral ear, you can get sounds that you can combine sounds that, you know, can be pleasant or, you know, you know how to mix certain sounds better than, say, if you didn't have that background, you know, you're kind of hitting and missing. You're coming up with stuff like Halloween, you know, something.
How does the flute interpret with jazz? Because I don't think of a flute when I think of jazz, but how would you...
No, it's not, because it's not a featured instrument primarily. You know, it kind of, the sax and the trumpet and the guitar were kind of featured, you know, piano.
But it can be. You've done it.
Hubert Laws really brought it to the forefront. And Herbie Mann back in the day, I don't know if you ever heard anything.
I did.
But Hubert Laws, he really showed his prowess on as a jazz flutist.
Yeah.
And he brought it to the forefront. But it was, and then Quincy helped out because he used Hubert Laws on a lot of his albums when he started doing instrumental albums and putting together albums.
Right.
Quincy Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to say Quincy Jones because we got the Generation Z on here and they don't know what we're talking about when we just say Q or Quincy.
No.
You know, they don't know.
So it's really navigating through the generations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is I've been there and seen it coming and see what's coming.
Right. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Thank God. I mean, you did Never Say Goodbye. You did a rendition of that. Why did you choose that? And it sounds great.
You know, I've always liked the version that the Jackson 5, of course, did. I wanted to do a cover.
Okay.
I could have picked a Stevie Wonder, but for some reason, I always loved that song, so I thought maybe I'll try something with that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You did a great job. Now, you know, we was talking about instruments and the population of the instruments, and like the flute is not common to regular folks. Of course, in the industry, it is a strong instrument. Like you said, when we talk about jazz, for the most part, nobody's really checking for the flute. But like you said, in an orchestra setting, live instruments. How is the orchestra world doing today?
They're barely making it, I have to admit. Just for example, the Kennedy Center.
They have the National Orchestra.
Yeah, well, they have the National Orchestra that, you know, rehearses and plays there all the time. You know, they're under contract. And so now that Trump has shut it down for two or three years, all those musicians, which is a large orchestra, all those musicians are out of work.
Wow.
It's bad, you know.
That's very bad to put, you know, such talented and gifted artists out of work. We didn't even really probably put one and one together when that happened. I mean, the audacity of someone just taking a whole
destroyed all the jobs. It takes a lot of people to run that organization.
Right.
And he just shut it down to put marble columns or something. And the guy that manages, he says, he didn't see anything wrong with it. He said, it's in great shape.
Right.
You know,
right.
To his eyes. So,
You know, we're in a very peculiar season with our current residing president, you know. All right, so moving on. you have worked with some, right, because I don't even want to go there because I have... My mama said, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. So I'm going to just be quiet.
Yeah.
Because I don't have nothing nice to say. So we'll just move on, you know. This is why I love what I do. And I love key players. Y'all don't know. Y'all make me feel so joyful and happy all the time. So I'm going to run down some names because you're no stranger to the game. You've worked with Patti LaBelle, my favorite, Renee and Angela, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Mary J. Blige, Vesta Williams, Confunction. At what capacity can you share with us that you worked with them?
I can tell you the one I didn't work with. And that's Gladys Knight. She never showed up to the... I only did the strings to the song, number one in my book.
But she didn't
come to the recording session that day. Okay. So I never got a chance to meet her.
Okay. You're on the song, You're Number One in My Book. And I love that intro. I love that song. And long as you got credit, it's all good with us. We understand that sometimes these artists, we know that y'all can record and then add the vocals. So no shade to Gladys. Mm-hmm. I love me some Gladys Knight.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, Mary J. Blige, I mean, they flew me to New York. It was supposed to be a double album, but they ended up making it a single album.
Uh-huh.
The one that I was supposed to work on. And this is a funny story.
Come on, tell a story.
Well, I won't get it.
Tell a story. We are where key players speak.
One of the writers was in Washington, D.C., and he was supposed to bring the tape, master tape. At that time, they were still using tape, you know. He was supposed to bring the tape to the recording session. So we had all these musicians sitting around waiting for this tape. And... you know, I was getting nervous because that's a lot of money just going down the drain.
Right.
And
right.
I thought, so I said, well, let me talk to the guy and he can tell me over the phone what, you know, the chords and what he wanted. And so I did it over the phone and made out a little cheat sheet, almost like a piano part.
Right.
And made, you know, a bunch of copies and we spread them out. And I said, okay, so-and-so, you're going to take this line and this line and... because we were going over into overtime, and it was going to be long and short of it. We barely made it. And after all of that, worked on the album, and when I got to L.A., and then the manager said, did you take that tape? And I said, no. Are you kidding? I didn't take no tape on the plane.
Right.
He said, yeah, we can't find it. You know, what a mess. But anyway, the album got released.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get any credit as a ranger on the song that
was
the first single.
And this was...
I'm In Love.
I'm In Love. I love that song. I'm in love with you. Yeah.
Yeah, if you had a CD or...
I do have the CD.
Or album. Yeah, you won't find my name on it. Song nowhere. And some other songs. But,
well, did they pay you?
So that's the way it was, you know.
You didn't get credit and you didn't get paid?
I got paid.
Okay. As long as you got paid, you know.
Yeah, But no, it helps to have, it helps to have credit because when people call you, they want to know who.
Oh, right.
It's association game, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's just in the new producers don't know who to call.
Right.
So they associate. The main artist. Oh, okay. So. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And who else?
Actually, Aretha Franklin. The same thing happened. Every time this is twice a New York artist didn't give West Coast credit.
Aww.
I don't know what it is, but I did some horns for her.
On what song?
I don't remember the song. To be honest with you, I don't remember. It was.
They done made you so mad, you'd be like, just give me my check, I'm gone.
But what she did do, though, I think she had referred me to a big rock pop group called Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They were big, I mean, super mega. Well, the manager called me to do some horns for them.
Okay.
And that would have been a big boost.
Right.
But I couldn't do it. Because I was working on Patty's album.
Okay, so what was you doing on Patty's album?
So I lost, dropped one and gained one, you know.
Right.
That's the way it goes, you know. Can't do them all.
So you did Patty's Come What May?
Come What May, yeah.
Yeah.
I did the whole album for that.
Okay. I love Come What May. Very good. And you did Vesta's Hunger?
Yeah, I co-wrote that with her.
I
produced that one in her first single, which was Once Bitten, Twice Shy. I produced that one. And,
how do you feel about the music today that we're listening to? As opposed to...
What I tell you.
You know.
I like Bruno Mars, and okay. I like, you know, Ariana Grande. I like the good singers.
Right.
And that's about all I could. Some of the stuff I just, it's hard for me to relate to because.
Right.
They approach music, you know, different. Even the concept of a song has changed, you know, how it's put together.
Express your thoughts on that.
Which is not what I'm used to. Yeah, well, you know, in the day, it was always a verse and a chorus that was well-defined, usually, or, you know, the live, plus the live musician, that was the main thing.
Right.
But now a lot of it is just kind of sound effects, even with TV and film.
Wow.
When's the last time you heard a theme?
Yeah,
when you think
right.
about it.
You're right.
You know, it's called sound design. Uh-huh. A lot of that is taking place. So to express an emotion, you know, so that's another art form in itself, sound design.
Right.
But a lot of those just sound effects and samples and distorted, you know, just interesting, it's all creative, you know,
right.
I think.
Right.
But you have to be in that era and that mindset to do it. You know, my mindset is kind of...
Share, come on, it's all right.
A couple of decades away, you know.
Right.
Further back, so I don't, you know, I can't really relate to all, you know, I can't duplicate those kind of approach to songwriting.
Right.
I don't really know how to do it, and I, you know...
Do it the right way.
So I leave it alone, you know. I do what I can do. And,
right,
you know,
right.
I can deal with the synthesizers and do some tricks and stuff, but
right. You prefer not to.
And then what they're singing about has changed, you know, things, you know, what kind of lyrics and all that stuff has really changed.
Right.
When you think about it, what are they singing about?
Right. True.
Versus to what they used to sing about.
Right.
Well, that's, you know, that's natural, you know, because of the generational change. You know?
Yeah. I'm so glad that I have a beautiful ear for music, because Lord knows. But
yeah, you make you want to, I hate to say it, but it makes you want to turn your head and say, what? What are they talking about?
Oh my goodness. I know my sister is listening to this, and I promise you, David, I promise you, I always look at her and say, what they just said? What they singing about? You know, and we just laugh because I'm like, I don't even understand.
Yeah.
I don't even understand.
I mean,
but again, we compliment you for being creative in your own space and in your own way, where it's no shade.
I'm trying to hang in there.
It's no shade. And so if you need Mr. David Crawford, his seasoned professional experience on your track, feel free to reach out and make sure you have your check ready. Okay. Okay, so... So you're also a voting member of the National Academy of Recording Arts and Science. Please tell me what that entails.
Well, what used to happen, because I kind of stopped because, you know, I wasn't keeping up with the artists.
Okay.
You know, I didn't know half the time who was who anymore, you know, and what songs, because I wasn't listening.
Right.
And I wasn't listening because, you know, I wasn't ready for the change.
Right. Got you.
My ear just wasn't ready.
Yeah, I love it.
I just say my ear wasn't ready for the change.
Right.
I eventually came around, but I some of it I just can't stand. And I'm wondering, how did they, you know?
Right.
And now with AI.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but when I got in was one of the viola players. Her name is Marilyn. I won't forget her. She, at that time, you had to be recommended.
Oh, okay.
By someone already in the organization.
Right.
So she recommended me, and from there I, you know, followed through and signed up and became a member. That was way back then.
So you don't have to be recommended no more?
You don't have to. No. You just,
Oh, Lord. Now, that's why.
Just be a member. Mm-hmm. So it's totally different.
Right.
But that's how I got in. And then, so I, you know, every year I would get involved and pick category, different genres that I was familiar with.
Right.
That's the other thing. You got to find a genre that you're really familiar with and can make a, you know, honest and reasonable assessment of. And then at that time, It was about, still was always about the sales or the popularity, but now it's more about, I guess, popularity and streams. You know, it's not so much about sales. So I don't know how they're assessing who gets,
right.
You know, who
well,
gets
I guess
hit.
Popularity,
right? Stream. Yeah, you're just popularity as part of it. But some categories, you know, they make a more educated assessment. But I'm thinking, you know, back in the day, that record companies, just like the film companies, they petition their acts, their artists to be nominated as well, you know. So then, you know, you would get a lot of, if they knew you were a member, you could get a lot of albums and all kind of little perks.
Right.
To vote for their artists,
right,
you know.
Right.
So that was fun.
Yeah. What is the process to get the artist? Do they have to pay to be nominated, or what's that process like?
I don't know what the record companies do. That part I don't know. I assume that
they just submit the music
to be part of the process, but after that, you know.
Okay.
I guess I'm not sure. But,
all right.
Yeah, the record companies.
You was talking about Hubert Laws introducing flute into the jazz arena. And, you know, we were getting on the younger folks, but, you know, Lizzo plays the flute as well.
Yes, she does. Yes.
Yeah. So have you ever heard her play, or would you do it?
Yes, I heard her play on some of her recordings.
Okay.
And she does a good job, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I've never, you know, worked with her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't know of me.
Well, she gonna know now. We gonna make sure of that. We'll make sure of that, you know, do a David Lizzo combo. She seems like she's a nice person and understands and has an ear for music. So we'll see. So let's get back to you. You have another single called Renaissance.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Go ahead.
I recorded that a while ago, but and I put it out on CD Baby, and it was just kind of laid dormant, and then all of a sudden it started really getting some streams.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that I would bring it up to date and release it again, you know, trying to get some promotion on it.
Right. Are you writing all your material, producing, arranging, and everything?
Yes, the flute stuff, except unless I do a cover song.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But are you, now, in terms of the art, some of the artists, no, it's just
right.
Always been, you know, some of the main, yeah.
Right.
Except for Vesta, we co-wrote that, The Hunger. And,
right. Is there someone out today that you would like to work with, or no? You don't feel obligated to call a name. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
Actually, no one in particular.
Right.
You know, I really like Bruno Mars as an artist. And,
okay.
You know, some of the good singers, Ariana Grande, and, you know, but Beyonce, you know, depends on what kind of production they would like to do, you know.
Right.
I could be of some help in that direction. You know, I've been writing gospel songs. There is another song that got some attention on the gospel association, music association.
Uh-huh.
And they gave a nice review on it. But I never, I never followed up too much with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also have...
I'd like to hear that one.
Okay, yeah. You also have a country song, Abilene, that you worked on. I mean, I'm just loving the fact that you cross genres, you know.
I started crossing because I got on the Sync licensing platform.
Oh, okay.
And so when they send briefs, they'll say, oh, we need a country song, that blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so that's when I started doing that.
Okay.
Country. I'd been doing the gospel several years back.
Okay.
But country and disco, when they asked for D70 disco, I had to pull out this song that I arranged and wrote, called I'll Do Anything for You by Freda Payne on Capitol Records. So that's on the platform. Yes. What else?
Man, so what's your favorite genre? Do you have one, or you just roll?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I would say was not country, but I do like, you know, I like some of the country. So I would say pop and soul, you know, R&B.
Okay. Pop, soul.
I like hip hop. You know, I appreciate if the artistry is good and the music is good. I'm not too picky.
So you're working on this new project, Something Borrowed, Something New. What's going through your mind right now in completing the project?
So while you're talking, I'm going to play a little snippet of Africa Nouveau and make sure y'all pick up his CD.
Oh, really, it's trying to pick the song that I think I can do work best on, you know. Taking some of the older songs that I remember, but I can bring up to date. Not necessarily written by me. There's a dear friend, Jerry Peters, he wrote Going in Circles. He actually gave me my first job at RCA because he had this hit, Going in Circles. I don't know if you know that song.
Yes, I do.
So you have the single that's out and available, Africa Nouveau, the remix. Make sure you get the remix.
Renaissance, you're relaunching and you're working on this project. What keeps you going in your creative spaces?
Some days I'm more busy than others, but you know, just life in itself is so many things, as you know, that come up from day to day. So it'll stop me maybe from sitting down at the piano thinking of ideas. There's always something in my mind and I'm listening and I'm thinking about, particularly if I were going to complete the album, you know, what song should I do or what, you know, how would I approach it? So, but then you get distracted by, you know,
life, right?
And life, and it just kind of sets you back a little bit, you know?
And you do this independently or are you signed to a label?
Independently.
Okay, good. We like that. Do you have a favorite album, be it one of yours or someone else's?
I think The Spinners, the one that had the first one, their big one that had I'll Be Around. And that's one of my favorite groups, singing groups.
You ever get to meet them or work with them?
No, that's at Philadelphia. They had their whole network of great Tom Bell and you know, Bobby Martin.
Okay, all right. Well, David Crawford, I want to say thank you for coming through. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to produce and, you know, create and make music, please consider Urban Buzz Magazine as one of your media outlets. And let everybody know where they can contact you, be it your website or social media.
All righty. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Man, I'm just honored to give you your flowers. You're a legend in the game. And, you know, UrbanBuzzMag.com, all we attract when it comes to key players are those who definitely execute their talent, skills, and abilities in great capacities, such as you're doing right now. And so, salute to you.
What's your website?
ScreenMusicForMe.com.
Is that S-C-R-E-E-N or?
Yes, screen as in, you know. Okay. So screening and movie screening.
Okay, yeah. ScreenMusicForMe.com. And you're on LinkedIn at what's your LinkedIn page?
Yeah, just my name, yeah.
Okay, just David Crawford on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Well, David, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you again for your support.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you have a good rest of your day.